supreme form, though I see you here before me in your actual position, as you have described yourself, I wish to see how you have entered into this cosmic manifestation. I want to see that form of yours also. You say, O greatest of all personalities, O supreme form, though I see you here before me, in your actual position, as you've described yourself, I wish to see how you have entered into this cosmic manifestation. I want to see that form of yours. And purport. The Lord said that because he entered into the material universe by his personal representation, the cosmic manifestation has been made possible and is going on. Now, as far as Arjuna is concerned, he is inspired by the statements of Krishna. But in order to convince others in the future who may think that Krishna is an ordinary person, Arjuna desires to see him actually in his universal form, to see how he is acting from within the universe, although he is apart from it. Arjuna's addressing the Lord as Purushottama is also significant. Since the Lord is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is present within Arjuna himself. Therefore, he knows the desire of Arjuna, and he can understand that Arjuna has no special desire to see him in his universal form, for Arjuna is completely satisfied to see him in his personal form of Krishna. But the Lord can understand that Arjuna wants to see the universal form to convince others. Arjuna did not have any personal desire for confirmation. Krishna also understands that Arjuna wants to see the universal form to set a criterion. It's a little hard to see. Criterion, for in the future there would be so many I'll get it. Imposters who pose themselves as incarnations of God. Do people still do that? Yes. Is it? Because there were so many when we were around. Prabhupada said they were being made wholesale. Okay. The people, therefore, should be careful. One who claims to be Krishna should be prepared to show his universal form to confirm his claims to the people. And text 4, translation and purport. Arjuna says, all say then you say, if you think that I am able to behold your cosmic form, O my Lord, O master of all mystic power, then kindly show me that unlimited universal self. Also you say, if you think that I am able to behold your cosmic form, O my Lord, O master of all mystic power, then kindly show me that universal, unlimited universal self. And Prabhupada's purport. Is that a phone? Hey! Do we have any other closet phones that haven't been shut off yet? In the UK, it's a manner if your phone goes off. They make you donate to the Didi Hundi. Did that get your attention? Because you're all thinking somebody else's phone's going to go off. All right. It is said that one can neither see, hear, understand, nor perceive the Supreme Lord Krishna by the material senses. But if one is engaged in loving transcendental service to the Lord from the beginning, then one can see the Lord by revelation. Every living entity is only a spiritual spark. Therefore, it is not possible to see or to understand the Supreme Lord. Arjuna, as a devotee, does not depend on his speculative strength. Rather, he admits his limitations as a living entity and acknowledges Krishna's inestimable position. Krishna could understand that for a living entity, it is not possible to understand the unlimited infinite. Limited, unlimited. Finite, infinite. Do we see a problem here? Therefore, it's revelatory. If the infinite reveals himself, then it is possible to understand the nature of the infinite by the grace of the infinite. The word Yogeshwar is also significant here because the Lord has inconceivable power. If he likes, he can reveal himself by his grace. although he is unlimited. Therefore, Arjuna pleads for the inconceivable grace of Krishna. He does not give Krishna orders. Krishna is not obliged to reveal himself. And they say, show me God, then I'll believe him. Well, who the hell are you? Sorry, but... obliged to reveal himself unless one surrenders in full Krishna consciousness and engages in devotional service. Thus, it is not possible for persons who depend on the strength of their material speculation to see Krishna. Om Agyanat Madandasya Agyana Agyana Salaka Jakshu Shimalatan Gena Tazadishi Gurudev Namaha. So just a few. I was sitting in a class one time with Srila Prabhupada was speaking on this verse, or the universal form in general. And Prabhupada said, the devotee's first question about the universal form is, where will we hang the garland? You know, the devotees, we know Krishna's unlimited potency and opulence, but it is the sweetness of Krishna's, Prabhupada said, at Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, there is seer, seen, and the act of seeing. We don't want it all to become one. There's the seer, there's the seen, and there's the act of seeing. Prabhupada describes this, you know, Om, A-U-M, in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, that there's this interaction, seer, seen, and act of seeing. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was, I think, therefore I am. I'm here, there's the external world, and what's my relationship? And Krishna being a person allows for that relationship, that interaction. We don't want to see the universe. It's we don't want to be stunned and fearful. And what did the Christians say? For I am a wrathful and vengeful God. He's always smiting and smoting and smitten. What is the? I don't know what past tense of smite, smote, smitten, whatever it is. He's always throwing thunderbolts, and it's a very much of a fear dynamic. Fear and guilt. The Bible is laden with it. The Quran is also laden with fear and guilt. And that's how you control a rascal. You have a stick. We're off track, but it's okay. Prabhupada was in L.A. Hayagriva had two sons, Girish and Birbhadra, who were always in mischief. They were always causing trouble. And Prabhupada brought them into the room. And Prabhupada said to Hayagriva, it was Shalavati's sons. So Prabhupada said to Hayagriva, he said, you will take Girish. And then he said, Vishnujan, you will take Birbhadra. And then Prabhupada said, and you will obey them. And then Prabhupada took his king, bam, slammed this, I will take care of you. And they were, you know, they offered their obeisance. And when they offered their obeisance, Prabhupada was laughing, you know, because they could. And then when they came up, Prabhupada was very stern again, you know. So this, you know, that's how you deal with them. You got a big stick, like a monkey, you know, you got a big stick, and then, I'm a wrathful and vengeful God. You got one life, and if you blow it, you're going to burn forever in hell. Yikes. That gets your attention. But for one who's more intelligent or a loving relationship, we're not so interested. So, and as far as them being God, was it in New York when someone was advertising as God? Someone came to Prabhupada, was advertising for God, and then the attendee of Prabhupada's class came back the next day. Prabhupada asked, how did the class go? And the guest said, well, he didn't come for class, he had to go to the dentist for a toothache. Prabhupada said, God has a toothache? You know? And with that, he's not around anymore. Who knows where? He may be around as a cockroach in the commode. We don't know where the guy is now. But that Guru Maharaji, you know, he was advertising, and he was God, and this and that. But he was Bal Govinda, Bal Gopal. And he got a stomach ache. He went to Coney Island and ate too much ice cream and got a stomach ache and had to get his stomach pumped. And they reported it to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, what is this? Prabhupada said, they're being kicked. So Prabhupada said, if we're all God, he said, fine, you'll be the kicked God and I am the kicking God. Where are my boots? Prabhupada said. You know, so we're not interested in this kind of cheap God, you know. I'm thinking of the time factor. You know, Krishna says in the Gita, fools deride me when I appear in human form. And they're just, if you step back and look at it, the whole thing is so silly. I was at the Mayapur Gurukul. I asked one of the kids. He said he was studying philosophy. I said, okay, fine. Let me ask you a simple philosophical question. Who do I put on the spot? You can volunteer. If I put my hand out, there's a shadow of my hand. Now, how many fingers are in the shadow? Some of the ladies want to volunteer? Don't overthink it.
Five.
Wait, I'm going to ask the men next. No, I wasn't picking on the ladies. No, there's five fingers. Unless you're that guy with the... Isn't there this... The tailor who's got six fingers? Yeah, well, he's got an edge on the other tailors. But assuming, you know, my hand is out there, the shadow has five fingers. Now for the men. Don't overthink it. Why does the shadow have five fingers? Lo and behold... I mean, it's such a simple question. Well, let's step it up a bit. Basic algebra. If I have a set of numbers, this happens when people go to sleep, that's why they became devotees, they get tired of math. But if I have a set of numbers, and I take a subset of that numbers, can I have in that subset any number that was not in the original set? Not possible. It's an Hare Krishna. It's an axiomatic truth. It's just there it is. We have form, we have pastimes, we have relationships, we have emotion. If we are emanations from the Absolute, which obviously we are, then how is it possible that we can have something that the Absolute doesn't have? It doesn't make any sense at all. So that the idea that the Absolute doesn't have form, but they try to squeeze everything in their little pigeonhole brain. You know, Prabhupada's famous example of Professor Frog. Doctor, is everything compared to my well? They ask. There's this big guy. He's a big cosmologist, astrophysicist, and he's studying. They don't know what the hell's happening out there. They spend billions, with a B, billions of dollars, and they send out some little beep, 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 and off it goes out into space. And it sends back where there's electromagnetic signals. Beep, 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 or whatever it is. And from this they deduce the secrets of the universe. I mean, they may have gone past Narada Muni playing as Veena. Who knows, you know, beep, 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 come back with a 1, 2, 3 beat of kirtan. They don't know what's happening out there. But this guy, he's one of the top astrophysicists, and his response is, life as we know it. There's no life in the universe as we know it. Anyone know Prabhupada's famous response to this? Well, that's the other thing. I was with Prabhupada, and a man kept saying, well, as far as I know. Well, as far as I know. Well, as far as I know. And finally, Prabhupada said, that's my point. How far do you know? But life as we know it. Prabhupada's classic example. If you go down to the ocean... and you take a picture of the ocean, will you see life? What will your conclusion be about the ocean? Uninhabited. But because there's no life, they don't have a form like us. We can't live in the water. So there's nothing living in the water. But we all know you enter into that water, it's teeming with life, including Timingal fish, which Prabhupada said can swallow a whale fish like we swallow a small nut. I always wonder about these. Sometimes they have these submarines that just disappear. I wonder if they were just swallowed by a Timingal fish, you know. But anyway, so why is man the measure of all things? Why are we, if it doesn't fit within the little square of our brain? Let me ask you this. When I was a kid, I don't know if they do this in India, but I'm sure they do it other places, I took advanced science in elementary school. And I remember, I think I could not have been more than 10 years old, and we made a model of the universe. Anybody ever do this? With little styrofoam balls, and you paint them different colors, and you fleck like a, we call it a mobile, whatever you call it, you know? Solar system. Yeah, whatever I said, I meant solar system, thank you. Anybody here ever do that? Now, you know, you get the yellow sun, you know? Why? I mean... Prabhupada is building the temple of Vedic planetarium with, you know, a mind-blowing structure of the universe, which can explain all the phenomena that, you know, eclipses, movement of the planets, all that stuff. It explains everything that we can experience with a whole different model, way of looking at it. But the point is, why Shouldn't God be inconceivable? Isn't that logical? Why should it be a little prosaic, you know, I had a father, my father had a father, my father's had a father, you know, and as you get older they get gray hair, so God's got to be a gray hair, an old man, not very happy, wrinkled. Suppose America was, one of the primary motivations for the research of America was the fountain of youth. They had this idea that you would find this fountain of youth and glug, 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 and chink, you become, huh? Yeah, so they think. Now all the elders are moving to Florida. They're still looking for it, but they're not finding it. Okay, fine. People are looking for the fountain of youth. Suppose I was searching for the fountain of old age. Would I get much funding? Suppose I offered Budri Swami's magic pills. You take this pill and all of a sudden, you're 80 years old. Anybody going to sign up? Anybody sign up? Hey, no problem. Do you think that's a very successful business model, even if it worked? So why? What is it? Advaita another Andhya Purana Purusham Navayovanam Chak. Krishna says in Brahma Samhita, we understand Krishna is the cause of all causes. He's the oldest Purana Purusham. No problem. We understand that. But what's the very next line? Navayovanam cha, that he's a fresh youth. So nobody, why should we project with our little pigeonhole brain, you know, I had a father, my father had a father, God must be the first father, therefore he's got to be the oldest, therefore he's an old man with a gray beard. And maybe that's why he's throwing lightning. He's probably got rheumatism and arthritis. He's not in a very good mood, you know. So why? Doesn't it make profound logic that God should be as the source of beauty, all beauty, he should be the most beautiful. Shouldn't he be the oldest? And shouldn't he be the youngest? Shouldn't the creation of the... Why? Oh, I'm trying to think of a good example. But anyway, why shouldn't... It is completely logical that the universe is a mind-blower. When I was Suki knows this example, but it works. I travel as sannyasi, I'm supposed to travel. I also grow some little flowers and things, you know, for the deities, nice fragrant flowers. It's my therapy. It's either that or basket weaving. You try being a GBC. Every one of these gray hairs has a name on it. So that's my therapy, you know. And it's nice. I grow some fragrant flowers for the deities. So I have been traveling for some time. We have an old world rose. It's called Madam Isaac, whatever. I tell you, it's pink. It's beautiful. It's super fragrant. It's a wonderful rose. So I was watering it. It turns out a colony of ants had moved in. And when I was watering the pot, they freaked. You can imagine. You know, seen how they carry all the babies on the larva on their head, you know, women and children, firth and every, you know, everyone bails out. And in the great annals of time, in the Puranas of the, you know, the ant history, there will be the flood of 2015. But they have, and I felt badly. I tried to, I shut the water off. I put a little stick there so they could climb out. That freaked them even more. They have no idea that behind the flood is a hose. Behind the hose is a handle. Behind the handle is a hand. Behind the handle is an arm. Behind the arm is a person. But they're tiny little ants. And therefore they can't, it's completely beyond their comprehension. My father took me to, when I was a little boy, couldn't have been over 6 years old. Maybe, yeah, probably around six, seven maybe. And they, what do they call, take your son to work, or take your, you know, kid to work day, whatever it was. We had a long driveway from our house. And I remember I was attached to my father. I would wave goodbye. You know, we would have breakfast together and off he would go. And he would drive down the long driveway and he would turn right. And at that point, he fell off the universe. I mean, I knew where my little school was. I knew where my best friend lived. I knew where the little baseball park. Have anybody ever gone back? Anybody been born somewhere, spent some years there, and then not seen it for many, many years and gone back? You were there as a kid and then you went back as an adult? What's almost a universal experience? Outside of think hell, I got out of here. What's the other thing? How small it is. You know? I mean, I remember thinking, I used to trudge all the way to school with my heavy books and, you know, three blocks away. You know, but when you're small and that's your little world, so we live in a very, very small world and we're thinking this is reality. But You know, there's higher universes, Ombur, Bhuvaswa, there's the whole creation. And it should be in... Let's talk about some... One man said, because we're talking here, show me God. I don't want to get too far afield. Show me God. So one man said, can you see God? And there's many, many ways Prabhupada would answer. Usually he said, what's your qualification to see God? First become, you know, your eyes become anointed with the salve of love, then you can see God. So many things. But I heard Prabhupada say, first off we'll say this one, then we'll say the other one. Prabhupada's in Bhaktivedanta Manor, long temple, thin temple room. Vyasa-san's here, beautiful Radha Gokula Nanda here. A man stands up and says, can you see God? Prabhupada said, yes, but you're standing in the way. Sit down. His Prabhupada, you know, he wanted to see, you know. So the Prabhupada would answer different ways, you know, can you see God? So one man said to Prabhupada, can you see God? Prabhupada said, that's not the question. The question should be, why can't you see God? The mystic power of God is all around us. We live, here's a simple, thought exercise. One of my good friends, Sariputta Prabhu, one of my heroes, Sariputta Prabhu. I'm just thinking of the time factor. Maybe I'll say it this way. Okay, so one of my good friends, the mystic power of God is all around us if we have the eyes to see. We try to see, like I was saying, to finish up the example of this astrophysicist guy. He's thinking that form of life has to be like our form. You know, what is it? We're carbon and water and whatever we are. You know, that's what we have to be. But the fact that, you know, Prabhupada always points out, Prabhupada never shied away from the Vedic truth. Prabhupada, you know, he talks about Vivishwan, there must be a sun god, there, you know, Krishna went there, he spoke to the sun god. So they have fiery bodies, and you're thinking, oh man, fiery body, Greek mythology, bring me Casper the ghost, what are you talking about here, you know? But the fact of the matter is, as I said earlier, there's so many living entities living in the water, they've adapted to living in the water, we can't live in there. In fact, wherever they look, they find people. Life. They're a type of people. You go to the bottom of the ocean, the pressure of all that incredible pressure, no light. I think the carbon can't get out because there's so much pressure, whatever it is. It is one of the most intolerable, unsurvivable places in the existence. Teeming with life. All kinds of far out living entities are living in there. They went to a place, it's at the bottom of the Mariana Trench, which is outside, I think it's, well, wrong with it, but it's off the coast of Japan. It's supposed to be the deepest place in the ocean. It's like 3 miles deep. Anyone here's got facts? Okay, you can Google it when you get home. I think it's 3 miles deep. So it's dark, methane gas, no light. It's one of the most intolerable places on the planet. Nothing should live there. And there's fissures, you know, cracks in the earth, and there's horrible toxic gases coming out. And it's hot, it's like 2,000 degrees. I mean, the water's boiling or whatever. It's incredible. I don't think it boils because there's no oxygen, but the point is, it's incredibly hot, teeming with life. All kinds of little microbes, this one feeding up. What? So there's, wherever you go, the point is that how far do we know? So similarly, to understand the mystic power of God, it's all around us. We just have to open up our heads and see. And it's actually, because it's Kali Yuga, people are so proud. We were getting some marble for the deities for the San Diego temple. So one of their prasham tables was broken. So I'm in Tijuana. Donde está esta tienda? You know, I'm trying to find out my own broken Spanish where something is, you know? Three guys standing there in the corner. They each one pointed in a different direction. They can't all be, two of them have to be wrong, right? They pointed, and then they saw that they were all pointing in different directions. Even they became a little embarrassed. They were laughing, and they said, actually, we don't know where it is. But, you know, we live in Tijuana, you're a foreigner, you're asking, we didn't want to look like dummies, so we just, well, maybe it's this way, you know. The whole place operates like that. That E. E. Cummings, an American poet, probably quote poetry sometime, his line is talking about childhood. He said, as up they grew, down they went. You ask a small child, is there God? No question about it. I mean, I have my mother, I have my father, they're maintaining me. Wherever I see order, pattern, symmetry, design, they should be seamless in their logic. We need to challenge them. Because they just get away with it. They just bluff. Goebbels, is that how you say it? Hitler's propaganda minister. Goebbels. You know what his mantra was? How did it go? If you're going to tell a lie, people will buy anything if you tell a lie loud enough and long enough. That was the first time. Tell a lie loud enough and long enough, and people will believe it. And don't tell a little lie. Little lie they'll niggle you about. Well, no, that. But a big lie, they think, well, they would never lie about that. So tell a big lie and tell it loud enough and long enough, and people will believe it. Everything happened by chance. Nothing else in our experience happens by chance. Nothing. We come into this room, it's organized nicely because we know there's devotees who set it up. Wherever you see order, pattern, symmetry, design, there's intelligence behind it. It's our universal experience. It's a law like gravity. Every time you pick up your foot and put it down, you count on it. Anybody here plan on floating away? Anybody being a chain and a hook to stay down today? We all know gravity. We have complete faith in gravity. In the same way, wherever this order, pattern, symmetry, design, there's intelligence behind it. How can they possibly get away with saying there's no supreme control or no supreme intelligence? Push matter together. You'll never get... I don't have time to go into it, but there's the Chinese room example. Sometime I'll tell you the Chinese room example. There's no consciousness generated from matter. It simply doesn't happen. Some of the best and brightest brains at Caltech and MIT are now accepting consciousness is its own tattva. It is you can take, 16, 30 seconds can become 8 sixteenths, and 8 sixteenths can be whatever it is, four, and you can go, let me get down to, what do they call it, it becomes irreducible, 1/2, you know. It can't be, lowest common denominator, it can't be reduced any further. So those things which cannot be reduced any further are considered tattvas or elements. You know, they haven't done the name for it, but whatever. They're the fiber of stuff, of existence. They're now accepting, in some circles, intelligent people think, wait a minute, consciousness is not generated by matter, it's something else. And they're studying it, MIT, Caltech. So, show me God. Prabhupada said, well, why can't you see God? Here's a simple example. I was just thinking about it today because it was raining. I suppose you're all sitting here, and I said, of course, I probably wouldn't get out the door alive, but I am Bhagavan Sri Krishna, Yogeshwara. And to show you my mystic power, and this bottle of water, you'd be, Bhadrun Rain Swami is Bhagavan, you know? It would be out on the internet right away, you know? Huh? Facebook, yeah. Pictures don't lie. Pictures lie all the time as a sidelight. That's what Photoshop is for. But the point is that, give me credit. It would be pretty, you know, could come in handy, I don't know. If I want a glass of water, you know. Okay, I don't know, a little house trick, you could use it now again and come in handy. And yet, think for a minute. Sataputta Prabhu, as I said earlier, one of my heroes, it rained in San Diego County, and it hardly rains, it's practically arid. So I think it rained a 16th of an inch. I mean, in India, they'd even measure a 16th of an inch. It's like inconsequential, but it's a big deal in California, Southern California. So do the math, as they say. You can take it rained, it said in the newspaper, that great Puran of truth, that it rained a 16th of an inch yesterday in San Diego County. San Diego County's like district, something like that, okay? So, San Diego County, anyone know what the square, the so many square miles, San Diego County. Now you can understand, you can calculate the surface area of San Diego County. You can also calculate, 16th of an inch, how much water it would take to cover San Diego County. It's not rocket science, at least Sataputta could figure it out. And you get so many gallons of water. Now, a gallon of water has a weight. Anyone know what it is? 9 pounds? 8 pounds? 12 pounds? Work with me. You know, you take a number. So it's within that range, okay? So it was so many millions or billions of gallons of water to cover Sandia. And forget the other, forget L.A. County, Orange County, Riverside, Sammer. Forget it. Just take a little postage stamp. And it winds up being, to cover it, it was billions, with a B, billions of tons of water. Now Krishna is just floating that in the sky. It's just floating in the sky. I mean, Krishna has his array. He's, what is it? Om Purnamada Purnamidam Parameshwara. You know, he's got the sun. Does anyone know why there's salt in the ocean? Suki knows, because I've used this before. Anyone know why there's salt in the ocean? It acts as a preservative, but it also controls the distillation rate. I didn't know that. It controls, so Krishna's got the, how fast the water evaporates, the sun shines, the water evaporates, it becomes a cloud, Krishna blows it wherever he wants by his agents Vayu, it catches on the mountains, it pounds on the mountains, brings all the mineral, all the natural organic fertilizer, it fertilizes all the fields, it waters everything, takes all the refuse, carries it to the bottom and drops it at the bottom of the ocean, and it's a perfect perpetual machine. I mean, like what is it, in mathematics, the universal field theory is the Holy Grail. So if you were a mechanical engineer to design a free energy machine, I mean, that's the Holy Grail, something that just runs perpetually. You wind it up once and it just keeps on going forever and ever and ever. They try to, you do it, you get a Nobel Peace Prize, guaranteed. Okay, so, and yet right in front of us is a perpetual motion free energy machine. It's going on by Krishna's array. I mean, ultimately it wears out because of the time factor, but compared to anything else, it's anadi, it's practically eternal. And I float this, and I become Bhagavan, but the real Bhagavan floats billions of tons of water, and nobody even thinks, just takes it for them. They don't even open their head, how is it happening? So our simple point is that this theme of Achinta Bheda Bheda Tattva, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, simultaneously one and different, runs through everything. Simultaneously, it's profoundly simple and logical. And it's profoundly inconceivable that Krishna is a person. Sure, sweets for everyone. He's not coming back. I know. He doesn't count. So, I mean, Queen Kunti offers her prayers that fear personified. That person who fear personified is afraid of Mother Yasoda's stick. You know, he's there as baby Krishna, and she's going to tie him up or chastise him. They're thinking, you know, if God doesn't feed me, Prabhupada, was it, God give us, is there Mahavakyam for the Christians? Our Father art in heaven, hallowed be thy, first line, it's interesting, you know, our Father, this is the, what's the name of it? There's a name for it, but all, it's the Lord's Prayer. Our Father out in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Wow, right off the bat, you know. But it says, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. I forget all the rest of it. But Prabhupada said, okay, they're recognizing that God is the source of bread. It's not really love of God, it's love of bread, you know. But how is Mother Yasoda thinking? Mother Yasoda, that's not even on her radar. She's thinking, if I don't feed Krishna, she's thinking that Krishna is dependent on me, that I need to feed Krishna. We're thinking, if Krishna doesn't feed me, what's going to happen, you know? God give us this our daily bread. So this, the devotee is not influenced or attracted by all of this. It is just a given. The devotee automatically understands, sure, we understand how God is present everywhere. What is it? Brahmaneti Paramaneti Bhagavaneti Shabite. We understand God's present everywhere. He's got all those different manifestations. We understand the whole thing. But the devotees understand far beyond this. What is the actual purpose of the whole thing? This loving devotional service. Let me engage in Krishna's service. That's what I'm actually looking for. Okay, so we have a few minutes. Oh, just as a sideline, I actually had a man one time, Ann Arbor, Michigan, University of Michigan. He had a small preaching center. I guess Prabhupada mentions it here in the purport. And this guy told me he was Krishna. I said, really? I said, I've been waiting to meet you. You know, I kind of thought you'd look a little different, you know. like all attractive, but that's another thing. I said, very nice to meet you. I said, but you know, I just, you know, Krishna sets a standard in Bhagavad Gita. So can you show me your universal form? And I swear to you, the guy went. I said, hey, I missed it. I said, do it again. I said, missed it. It went right past me. He said, you're not qualified. So they say that. So in this purport and in this verse, what is your answer, oh sages and sadhus? If I say I'm Krishna, you say, show me your universal form, because Prabhupada says here, a procedure has been set in place, a criteria check. So what will you say to me if I say I'm Krishna? So, but according to this verse, what will you say? Well, you're not qualified. Engage in devotional service. Huh?
I already knew I wasn't qualified.
So, but what is Arjuna's response? Arjuna, Krishna's a step ahead of us. What does he say? What happened? Huh? She said it, but anyone else know the answer? What? We just read it. Work with me, Prabhus. What did Krishna give to Arjuna? He gave him the eyes to see. So, fine. I may not be qualified, but as it says here, you can give me the eyes to see if you're Krishna. So, there's a proof check given by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Okay, any questions? Anything at all? Yes, Prabhu. Oh, we got a mic. Even in this, do we need a mic in this small room? Acha, for the public record. I hope I haven't said anything controversial. I usually manage to offend a few people along the line.
Yesterday, Agnidev Prabhu, what's that?
Saintly person.
He gave an example of a debate between Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and I can't remember the devotee's name, and
yes.
Sarvabhauma Gopinath Acharya.
Okay.
The point was, he said, oh, you just can't understand because you're not qualified. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, how do you know, what makes you so confident that you've got the mercy, that you understand? And then Gopinath Acharya quoted a verse that says, if you have the knowledge, that's the proof that you have the mercy. But then someone could think they have the knowledge but not have the knowledge. There's all sorts of people that think that what they believe is true.
Yeah.
And so, like, I was...
There are Polynesian islanders, used to be, I don't know if they're still around, and I think with the aid of some coconut wine, they used to believe that when they rowed their little dugout canoe, they were staying stationary and pulling the world past them. Like, I'm here. What the fools? And yet, I mean, imagine such a concept. But that was their concept. That was their cosmology. They thought they were pulling the world past them. However, they traveled from Polynesia, from whatever it is, Southwest Sea in the Pacific Ocean. Thousands of miles. They didn't have a sextant. They didn't have any navigational tool, simply by the stars. They traveled all the way to Peru and back. So you can function quite well with a completely wrong conception. People do it all the time. People function in their own little world totally wrong, and they function. So therefore we have, just like when you do a graph or quadratic equation, you know, you draw, you know, 2 points and you get the third point falls on that line, it confirms. So we have our own checking system. We have Guru, Shastra, Sadhu. If what you say lines up with Guru, Shastra, Sadhu, then you can know you're speaking the truth. We have a test. Are they speaking Guru, Shastra, Sadhu? And then there's so many gurus. The guru has to come in bona fide disciplic succession. He has to be coming in one of the four lines. But if someone is coming in bona fide disciplic succession and speaking according to Guru, Shastra, Sadhu, we can understand they're speaking the truth. We're not sentimentalists. And in the ultimate issue, the test is when you put it, Prabhupada like that, you know, the proof is, of the pudding is in the taste. You can see, what is the proof? Well, I'll use Prabhupada's example. What is the proof that I'm fed? Yeah, I come to the place hungry. I eat. What's the proof that I'm satisfied? I'm satisfied. I push away. I'm not eating anymore. I'm satisfied. One who has a higher taste, who's actually experiencing spiritual life, you don't find them doing all these nonsense things. They have no taste for them. So there's the phenomenology that they're no longer engaged in material activities. People cannot do it. They go all the way up to the Brahman, but there's no taste. So they open hospitals, or they, you know, whatever they do, Mother Teresa, you know, embracing the dead as the body of Christ, you know. I mean, give me a break. That's the best you can come up with as far as spiritual life? I mean, I'm sorry, there I've offended somebody. Okay, off to a good start. So there's the phenomenology that they actually become transcendental, Atmaram, you know. And the other thing is that we have Guru Shastra Sadhu. Another question. Anybody else have a question? Yeah. He had another thing percolating, but I want to give somebody else a chance. Yeah.
How does he walk? How does he talk? And how does he sit?
Yeah.
And Krishna answers him that he walks by engaging everything in Krishna's service. He talks by being free from duality. He doesn't freak out when people insult him, and he doesn't get elated when people tell him how great he is, and he's not affected by duality. And how does he sit? He takes his senses and he pulls them in,
like the tortoise,
rather
yeah.
than him being pulled around by them. So there's
another measure, yeah.
Yeah, there's concrete measure.
Yeah. We're not sentimentalists. Anyone else have another question? Well, purple. Okay, you want to take another whack at it? Stump the Swami. Okay, give it a shot.
Wait, what I'm wondering is, how do you answer the challenge that even if I practice this philosophy and chant and everything and I feel blissful as a result, and it says I feel blissful, how do I know that's not just another feeling? Because you can do so many things and have a feeling.
A man asked Prabhupada that. A man kept saying, oh, you're just dreaming. You're all just dreaming. Prabhupada said, fine. Let's accept your principle that we're all dreaming. Let's accept, just for fun. I mean, why don't you be consistent with your logic, you rascal? Where's my cane, you know? They're not consistent. You know how a little dog beats a big dog? Prabhupada said this. You have a little dog and you have a big dog. How does the little dog beat the big dog in a fight? No, man, you'll be dog chow. Anyone know how's a little dog defeat a big dog? Prabhupada said he grabs onto one place and he does not let go. And you watch Prabhupada with that Cardinal Danilou, you know, the guy's a big philosopher. You know that one, he was the head of the Catholic Church in France, you know, and Prabhupada says, thou shalt not kill, why are you killing? Wow, that, you know, with his own acharya, Prabhupada punched him in the nose. And then he says, you know, why can't, and he wiggles around this way and that, and finds, you know, when he's completely defeated, he's in a box. You know, and so he just wants to change it. He's like, oh, you look over there. Okay, and you forget about this, you know. So he says, well, can't we talk about higher things? Prabhupada pulls him right back. He says, no. He said, where's the question about talking higher things if you don't understand lower things? Where's the question? If you can't even be civilized, why are you going to, you know? So Prabhupada didn't let him back off. So they're not consistent in their logic. They want to argue this. They want to argue what? They want to argue this stream of logic, this way. Seamless. If you want to have capital punishment in America, your right-wing liberals are die-hard for capital punishment. Isn't it? Yeah, that's one of their main things, you know. Fire up old Sparky and wave goodbye. So they want to send them the electric chair or gas chain, whatever it is. At the same time, they're profound, you know, they're the adamant advocates of no abortion. So is life sacred or isn't it sacred? At least be seamless in your logic. Be consistent in your logic. Okay, fine. So this, you know, it's all a dream. You know, you have your feeling, I have my feeling, you know, and I'm feeling it's all relative. Prabhupada said, fine. You say we're dreaming. We say you're dreaming. Let's analyze for a moment. Prabhupada said, if it's all a dream, there's no high reality. It's all, Krishna says himself in Bhagavad Gita, if it's all chemicals, so what? You know? So Prabhupada says, it's all a dream. We're having a great dream. We're taking prasadam, we're dancing and chanting. Suppose, no offense intended, for a minute, it's all fantasy. There is no reality. It's all relative reality. Well, we're having a great dream. It's all a dream. We're taking prasadam. We're not in anxiety. We're fearless. The time of death, hey, shuffle off this mortal coil. I come back as a nice devotee. Jayapath Thakmar is just talking about how we've got to improve our Gurukula system because many of us are going to come back in it. So let's fix it now, you know. So, hey, I come back as a devotee or I go back to Godhead. Hey, I got no worries. My problems are solved. So it's a great dream. So Prabhupada said, and your dream, you're full of unfulfilled desires and angst. And, you know, they are completely in anxiety. Why do they stop? An ambulance goes by. All around the world, people stop and look. There, but by the grace of God, go I. It's like when the Sudarshan Chakra goes through the subterranean heavenly planets. People think, wait a minute. Whew, dodge that bullet. Subliminally, that's what they're thinking, amongst other things. So the point is that they're full of angst. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, and it's a psychological fact, burns like fire and never satisfied. Their lust, their desire, their angst is never satisfied. What is it? Dharmasyaha Pavargasya. Pavarga. You know, they're working hard, they're sweating, they're in anxiety, they're not satisfied, and they're always waiting for that coup de grace to come at the end. Whack! The time of death. So they're riddled with angst. We may be, call us fools, but we're chanting and dancing and having a great time, anxiety-less. So even if we're wrong, we're right. Then Prabhupada said, hey, and wait a minute, I'm probably going to say it like that, get much more of a gentleman. Prabhupada said that, but what if what we're saying is true? What if there is Krishna? What if there is a soul? What if there is karma? What if there is a spiritual world? So Prabhupada said, if we're wrong, and it's all fantasy, we're still right. We're having a great time. Better than you. And what does it matter? There's no absolute truth. So at least, you know, row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, merrily, merrily. Life is but a dream. We're having a great dream. Don't rock the boat, buddy. So we're happy. But then Prabhupada said, so if we're wrong, we're right. Now, what if we're right? And there is karma, and there is destiny, and there is the Yamadutas. I'll tell you a story about Mr. Prakash sometime, about Yamadutas. And if there are Yamadutas, and if for every action there's a reaction, and wait a minute, buy now, pay later, I got to pay for all the things I've done? Then Prabhupada said, then if we're right, you are really, really wrong. So if we're right, you're wrong. If we're wrong, if we're wrong, we're right. Great dream. And if we're right, you are really wrong. So in either category, the man is wrong. Either category, he's wrong. He's just flat out wrong. Case closed. Take prasadam. Okay, I think we should end there. Okay? Thank you for sitting so patiently. Hare Krishna, until we meet again. Hare Bol. Thank you. Good question. Thank you, Prabhu. Nice question. And what will happen with this? You recorded this. What will happen with it?
Tata Sky, they will put it in the everyday lecture.
Oh, you have some archive, people can log in and check it out. Don't give my email address. They have a joke in Los Angeles. You know, because L.A., it's like Vrindavan, you know, it's like there's all kinds of people, it's a big audience. They said the longest walk is from the Vyasa San across Watsika to your apartment. You know, you're going, well, what about them? What about them? Hey, very good to see you, Prabhu.
Nice class.
So, how was life? Here, how was teaching?
Today is Sunday, and I have got a chance to listen to you right now, so. No, wonderful day.
But you're happy because you're working out? You know, you went through a lot in Boise, and I think the fruit of your tapas is Krishna's gift. Nice opportunity.
Yeah, but I'm still.
How old are you?
56.
Because you look the same every time I see you. You don't get older. What is your secret? You dye your hair? No. I'm joking. I know you.
Krishna.
I am here by Krishna's grace until around the 22nd. Gopal Krishna Maharaj, Gopal Krishna Maharaj would like me to go up to Delhi because it's a nice preaching field. You know, there's nice college.
Napeshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminite Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desatarine Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Haya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Kivajaya jaya gora chande arati kasho bhajaya kivajaya Gura Chandir Arati Kasho Bhajaya Janabi tatavane jagamana lobha Janabi tatavane jagamana lobha Dakshine nithai chan Vame gada dharad Dakshine nithai chan Vame gada dharad Nikate adoita srini Vasya chatra dhara nikate Nikate adoita srini Vasya chatra dhara Hara. Bashi ache gora chan ratna singha sane. Bashi ache gora chan Ratna Singhasane Arati Karena Brahma Adi Devagane Arati Karena Brahma Adi Devagane Brahma Adi Devagane Brahma Gaurangera Arati Kare Brahma Adi Deva Gane Ahanitai Chandi Arati Kare Brahma Adi Deva Gane Nita Brahma Adi Deva Gane Brahma Brahma Adi Deva Gane Gaurangera Arati Kare Brahma Adi Deva Gane Gaurangera Nitai Chande Arati Kare Brahma Adi Deva Gane Nitai Chande Brahma Adi Deva Gane Brahma Adi He Brahma Adi Deva Gane Brahma Adi Deva Gane He Brahma Adi Deva Gane He Brahma Adi Deva Gane Brahma Adi Deva Gane Haribo 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 Nitai Gaur Haribo 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 Naro Hari Adi Hari Chamara Dhulaya Naro Hari Adi Hari Chamara Dhulaya Sanjaya Mukunda Vasu Gosadi Gaya Sanjaya Mukunda Vasu Gosadi Gaya Shankha Baji Ghanta Baji Baji Karata Lash Shankho. Ghanta baje, baje.